Dave Fanning, weekend on 2FM.
And it is exactly 1:30 on this Sunday afternoon. Jim Lockhart, how you doing, Jim?
What about you? You're right.
You didn't know it was going to be that quick.
I didn't. I thought I'd be sitting here for 10 minutes.
Okay, I'm going to say it more than once, I'd say, in this next while. But we're both here to talk about something that, well, the last few weeks I was able to feel I was a bit of an expert. I don't think we're really very kind of, how shall I put this?
Genned up with
on
the
this.
TV generation.
So we are going to need some help here. Basically, what we're looking at here, we're talking TV theme tunes. Very hard to say that. TV theme tunes. With none other than the man who can claim to walk among the giants of TV theme tune composers, Jim Lockhart, the legend behind that'll be Glenn Rowe.
Right, your fiver is in the post.
Indeed, great. Okay. A tune that brought generations to their TV sets on a Sunday evening and sent school kids scurrying to their bedroom in horror, realising they hadn't done their homework.
Do you know,
in the world is coming on next?
I never knew that till a couple of years ago. We were in the pub And this person who I will not name said, "Do you know that was always the crack of doom on a Sunday
night?"
Yeah,
it was.
And I had no, all these years I lived in blissful ignorance.
No.
I had no idea.
That whole thing about being at school and the Sunday night thing—it's still with me. There's something about Sunday night. And Monday morning, 10 o'clock, you're in the class. Fine, no.
The word ecker.
Ecker. Oh my God, it should be banned.
Do they still do Ecker? Is that still a thing?
Do they still do Ecker? Well, tell us, 51552 and at Fanning RTE. There's loads of them up there on Twitter already. And fair play to all of you, put one up and have the beginnings of all the programmes up as well. I mean, visual wise, and it's all happening, like Magnum PI in his car and stuff. Anyway, 51552. Jim, I'll tell you what, I'm going to start just talking one or two bits and pieces here.
Yep.
Cartoons. Can we talk of one of those?
Yeah, well, The Simpsons would be a good one to start with. Because it was the biggest thing forever. It went on for donkey's years. I hadn't realised till I checked it out. It was going for like 20 or 30 years or something ridiculous. Mm. Ricochet is the man you need to talk about Simpsons because he knows what colour shoes they wore in episode 5,
bunch of
Simpsons series 3.
Out there, aren't there?
He knows, like, he's frightening though. I mean, like, he's actually scary. He shouldn't be let out, you know. but the lovely thing about The Simpsons was that they decided at some stage early on that for just for the size of it and for the feel of it, that they would go for a proper full orchestra, and they did. And the theme tune was written by a guy called Danny Elfman, who did loads of film music. And it sounds to me, and if you listen to it back to back with America from West Side Story, I mean, if you're a fan of West Side Story, which I always used to be, there's loads of little just tribute nods and quotes to Bernstein's orchestration and the little the way he used percussion and xylophones and little twists and turns of the melodies and stuff like that. And it's a gorgeous tribute to Bernstein. And also it's like it's the archetypal down home America. It's like picket fence. It's as America as mom's apple pie, you know.
Okay, we'll give it a blast. TV team tunes. You're very hard to say. For God's sake. 51552 is the text. So, Jim, where are we
but
going?
But there were great. There were other versions of that. The thing was that they played around so much on The Simpsons, and that was actually versions of it were done by, Los Lobos. Sigur Rós did a version. Sonic Youth did a version. Green Day and Weezer did versions.
Really?
They really played around with it a lot.
Well,
in the same way that Family Guy. Used like the Family Guy one just to sort of sidetrack because this wasn't one that I think I had thrown into the mix, but they kind of parodied just Broadway musicals, and their whole opening one is a pure Broadway music parody. But right through the whole series, they parodied. They never lost a chance to do a skit on Broadway musicals, and just how daft they are and stuff. Okay, but well, really brilliantly done.
We've had The Simpsons. How about this, South Park?
So that was Primus or Premis.
Oh, it started. I wouldn't even know that.
Really?
Yeah.
Were you not a South Park fan?
Yeah, whatever. No, I don't know. I'm telling you, I don't. TV and me, I didn't see many things down
South
here.
Park was so bold. It was so bold. It was so bad. Like the stuff that people are getting away with in animation. Well, it started, I suppose, with The Simpsons, because they were able to get away with stuff that you couldn't get away with in live action. And South Park took it like two blocks down the road, and then Family Guy got even worse. Family Guy's disgraceful what they do. But like South Park is extraordinary. I will not even speak of some of the stuff that amazed
Fair
me
enough.
That they did.
It's the family show. I'll tell you what I'll do here. I'm just going to give you one more in terms of all this. Rick and Morty, listen.
That's very Doctor Who.
It is.
Yeah. That's pure Doctor Who.
So tell me about that, Rick.
Totally derived from Doctor Who. That was composed by a guy called Ryan Elder, and like if you haven't seen Rick and Morty, Rick and Morty is completely surreal, and it's time travel and stuff. It's like Back to the Future, but on very bad acid, and this kid and his mad professor uncle shoot back and forth through time, and they get into terrible trouble. And that theme was originally composed for another cartoon called Dog World, which was about an alternative universe where dogs are people who have humans as pets, which was something that actually also happened in Family Guy at one stage. It was really good, but that show didn't go anywhere. So Ryan Elder, the guy who wrote it, and Dan Harmon, who was the Rick and Morty producer, decided to use it for Rick and Morty. But it's one of the few where you can actually hear a direct influence from Doctor Who, which was like the original of the species in terms of sci-fi stuff. But it is real sci-fi, and it sets the scene for just complete bonkers sci-fi.
Well, I'll give you this one
here,
which you mentioned, Family Guy.
It seems today that all you see is violence in movies and sex on TV.
But where are those good old-fashioned values
on which we used to rely?
And there's great baton twirling and stuff, you know?
Okay, give us one more. Now, there's one here that's not a cartoon, but it is, you know.
Bosco.
Yeah,
Bosco. Yeah.
Very good. Okay.
This is Paul Barrett, who wrote this and played it. As far as I remember, it was nearly all done on Fairlight, which was... Fairlight was what was called
a type of keyboard.
It was it was EMI. It was an electronic music instrument in the days when those things were neither profitable nor popular. And you had the Moog, and you had the Arp, and you had a few things like that. And I think did the Prophet come along before the Fairlight? Fairlight was based on samples anyway. It was a sample based thing. And there was only two, and there were three in Ireland. Roger Doyle, the drummer and composer, had one. And Paul Barrett had one, and there was one in Windmill. And they were really extraordinary yokes. And they had a peculiar, not peculiar, but a specific kind of style and a specific kind of sound signature. And they were gorgeous. The stuff you could do with them was just magnificent.
Here, I'll tell you a blast. This is Bosco.
This is my new CD with lots of my favourite stories and songs. I hope you like it as much as I do.
Hello,
No, I'm sure we get some texts in saying charming. I find that kind of creepy.
No, it's gorgeous. 1, 2, 3, 4, come with me through the magic door.
Okay,
knock,
listen,
knock, open wide, see what's on the other side. Wasn't he lovely?
No.
Or she, depending on how you look at it.
You can take a rest for a second. I want to take a look at some of the ones that have been on Twitter at 51552 or at Fanning RT. Oh my gosh, let's see. Marco Verde says Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Amorik says Cagney and Lacey and Hill Street Blues and Law and Order and Patrick is Kojak and Dot is Hawaii 50. And the fact they have all the frills with it too, as is Dermot Moriarty, I think it is. Is that right? Magnum PI and Tom Selleck. Minder. That comes in from John Barry. That's pretty weird. Okay, Morbarn. I bet you the name Morbarn got their name from Neil Young, but I could be wrong. Anyway, Buffy the Vampire Slayer. That's from Joe O'Shea as well.
I don't remember that.
Buffy, no, I wouldn't know it either at all. But anyway, I'm sure we'll play it at some stage. There's lots of people who want it. Shane Brennan says Way Down the Hole. No, that's The Wire, yeah.
Yeah.
Jason Goddard, What We Do in the Shadows. Okay, Soda wants the Pink Panther. Paul Bagley, oh my God, he wants loads. Big Little Lies, The Office, Royal Family, Wire, Sopranos, Game of Thrones, Heart to Heart, Starsky and Hutch, The Professionals. Niall Crumbish, The Odd Couple, and loads more besides. Okay, I'll tell you what, I'll do this one here, which is, oh, Glenroe's there. Oh, Paul Watchhorn wants Glenroe. Oh,
good,
Jim.
Excellent.
You can sing it anyway, but before I do, I'll just give a few other kind of weird ones from all over the place. But I'll tell you what I'll do. How about EastEnders? I mean, the old soaps.
Oh, yeah, go for it.
Oh, yeah, I do know.
Of course you do. Yeah,
I was just saying I don't know this.
Everybody in the world knows that. That's the Simon May Orchestra.
Oh, really? The Simon May Orchestra. Simon May?
Simon May Orchestra, oh, yeah, yeah. And didn't McCartney did a version of that, as I recall. Did a cover version of it.
Did he?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because it's like it's completely up McCartney's street. Like it's that kind of... it's redolent of like a 40s England,
yeah.
that like all those reminiscent, like when I'm 64,
yeah.
You know, and boarding houses and scrimping and saving for the holidays and lace curtains and pots of tea with a knitted tea cosy, you know, it's all that kind of thing. And it's also got that kind of, I don't know if anybody still alive would remember the Hovis ad. There was a Hovis ad back in the 70s, I think.
The man went on to make the biggest Hollywood movies, didn't he?
Who?
Oh, whatever his name is.
The guy who made the Hovis ad?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Oh, there is a God in that case. Yeah. Good. But that was like kind of French horns, and it was like a little bit of north of England, mining town, brass bands, and there's a little bit of that sort of stuff.
Well, how about this one?
That's a newer version of...
That's a newer version. I've never heard that before. That's Coronation Street.
Yeah.
No,
it's Or is it EastEnders?
No.
It's Coronation Street, yeah.
No, it's Fair City.
It's Fair City,
Fair City
is what
City,
it is.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Guess,
but there were
guess
different...
Guess the opening.
There were different versions of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would know this.
Yeah. That's what you'd call plaintive, isn't it?
Plaintive, I'm sure it is, all right. So that was Fair City first and then Coronation Street, obviously. Okay.
That was a very good theme, actually. That was really good.
I'm going to go to... I'll tell you what, I might as well go for my favourite then. I'll start off with this. Yeah,
go for it.
Like, okay, this would be like... well, one of them anyway. And this is... it's actually a programme for the last 10 years. Best programme on TV, no question about it. But it's the pictures that go with it, too.
Qu'est-ce que c'est?
It's the money that they all had when they were kids and now they're just the same. They have so much money. And
oh, I know what this is, yeah.
Family in the history of the world. But what a thing. Succession.
Thank you.
Ian M and Donal O'Brien asked for that, amongst many others as well. That is Succession, and that's Nicholas Britell, isn't that his name or something?
I got to say that is super, and the opening sequence, like that beautiful editing of the Super 8 footage or whatever
it's
it was.
Fantastic, yeah.
It's brilliantly done, and it's like that's like was that HBO?
I don't know.
Anyway, there's a kind of a HBO style of opening sequences. Like they did a True Detective particularly, and it was used on Smother as well in RTE recently. Really nicely, really well done, where you get that sort of very lots of images overlaid. And I think they did it in The Wire. Wire was brilliant. Just in terms of the visuals that were used for that, and like that really sort of established what it does, what something like this does, particularly in that kind of context, like that combination of evocative music and really evocative visuals, is it creates a brand identity. And it only struck me that a while ago that like when you create a brand identity like that, what you're actually establishing as well is kind of brand loyalty. So in the way that, you know, if you open a bank account with Bank of Ireland when you're 17, you're probably still going to be, well, not these days, actually, because that's changed so much. But you know what I mean? You're still going to be banking with them at 60. Or if you start using Wilkinson Sword instead of Gillette, you'll still be using Wilkinson Sword at 60. And, you know, I think if you get kind of hooked into, you can get hooked into a series partly by the Sig tune as much as by the opening graphics or the combination of them. And they work in a kind
it's
of
really
symbiotic
funny you
relationship.
Say that, because if we played EastEnders and Coronation Street, the minute I hear them on the telly, I get hooked out. I just change that
yeah,
channel.
I know. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know anything about here. I'll tell you what, I'm going to play a few because a bunch of people wanted this. I think off of the time. All right, Hawaii 5-0 it is, and there's a bunch of people wants this one too. My God, the
in 1972, a crack commando unit was sent to prison by a military court for a crime they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from a maximum security stockade to the Los Angeles underground. Today, still wanted by the government, they survive as soldiers of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can hire the A-Team.
How about this one here? One of the all-time greats. That's the A-Team, by the way. Here's the Rockford Files. I don't like.
But
well, that's kind of some kind of original. That's not the exact on the button the way it was on the TV program, where you have to have the. Do you remember he had a? It used to start off.
Oh
with a,
yeah.
What do you call it?
Answer phone.
His answer phone would go all the time. He always left his washing down. In fact, I'll tell you what. Speaking of which.
This is Jim Rockford. At the tone, leave your name and message. I'll get back to you.
You are full of bullshit, my friend. I will sue you for everything you have. I will sue your ass.
That's more like it. Okay, Rockford Files it is. Now, Jim, where do you want to go with some kind of more iconic-y kind of ones?
Ones that were really iconic were for those of a certain age would be Hill Street Blues and Cheers, I think were two that were really kind of standouts. So I'd say there probably would be because they were beautiful. And the Hill Street Blues was by a guy called Mike Post. Yeah. And if you listen to it, like it sounds, it's deceptively simple on the surface of it, which is part of the trick. If you can make it like very, very sort of hummable, and it's just dum dum dum, dum dum dum, dum dum. Now that's just three notes, and then. But what he does with them.
Came out of New York, a lot of crime, New York time.
That was when New York was a dangerous place to be, when you didn't go down, like when Alphabet City, Avenue A through Avenue D, whatever, was like really a place you didn't go. And it was the now disgraced Giuliani who actually pulled New York back out of the country. It was a very dodgy, like New York in the late 70s was like really dog rough. It's much more civilized now, hugely gentrified. Okay, yeah. And it was set in that, and that's one of the opening thing in that always was the sort of conference in the barroom before they went, let's be careful out there, yeah.
Okay, you mentioned Cheers, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
You ready for this? I've never seen it. It's terrible.
Making your way in the world today takes everything you've got. Taking a break from all your worries sure could help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? Sometimes you wanna go where everybody knows your name.
Lovely harmonies and stuff.
And they're always glad.
I'd lose that quiz question. What's that a theme tune for?
No, I know, yeah, but there's just so much stuff. I mean, you can't. There's so much content now. Yeah, Dallas is that. By the way, I just love that because that was where Woody Harrelson really started off. He was the barman in that before he became like super superstar. And Ted Danson, as I recall, Dallas was brilliant. Dallas was like. For me, Dallas was a descendant of Bonanza. I don't know if you've got Bonanza. But
don't know if I've got Bonanza.
This is like the classic Western one.
Yeah.
We chased Lady Luck till we finally struck Bonanza.
Bonanza.
A gun and a rope and a hat full of hope. We planted our family tree. We got a hold of a pot full of gold Bonanza. With a horse and a saddle and a ring full of cattle, how rich can a fella be? On this land we put our brand. How trite is the name. Fortune smiled the day we piled the Ponderosa claim. Here in the West we're living
Ponderosa.
The best.
Ponderosa.
Yeah, but okay, that for me is... And the instrumental version, that's got lots of kind of brass and French horns and stuff. And it's all about a kind of confident, kind of open frontier-minded America, you know, and we can do it, and we, you know, can do attitude, and the white hats were good guys, and the black hats were bad guys, and the Indians were all bad guys. You know, it was clear and simple, and I think Dallas kind of follows in the footsteps of that kind of big can-do brass, French horns, and trumpets and stuff. There's great bass on that too. Koch would like that.
Alright, so something completely different. Hold on a second. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Go Twin for it. Peaks.
Oh yeah, jeez.
Wow.
It's just there. And the dwarf and the red curtains.
The log lady.
The log lady. And real good coffee.
Kyle MacLachlan was the guy in it, wasn't it?
Oh, the agent?
Yeah.
God, I can't remember.
Yeah, sorry, I've just been told, yeah.
Angelo Badalamenti, yeah. And then Julie Cruise had the hit with the vocal version of it.
Oh.
But it's like, it's not even that it's spooky, it's just that it's so...
But this is two notes, better than your three earlier.
Unapologetically slow and just kind of moody. And then... Like you've got, if you just think of the visuals for that, it was just these majestic kind of valleys and mountains in the northwest, Pacific Northwest, and if you put that against this, suddenly you've got this implication that there's something unpleasant and menacing going on behind this kind of settled.
Okay, 51552 is our text. We're here with Jim Lockhart at Fanning RTE for your suggestions. We're looking at TV tunes, themes, thingies. A lot of teas. Okay, news is next.
Dave Fanning on 2FM.
2FM.
Is the text. We're looking at TV programs. I believe that's a great one. I've never seen it, never heard it. BoJack Horseman is what it is. Also, we go for this one here. Lots of people want it. Buffy, as in the Vampire Slayer. Jack Horseman, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Angel. I've never even heard of Angel.
Thank you.
mean, I don't know the series. I never watched. I tried BoJack Horseman. I just couldn't. I couldn't relate to it, but that's you know, there's something a bit similar about with doing TV six to doing like radio, to doing jingles, to doing advertising jingles, because you've got like 30 seconds or 40 seconds or something like that to get a message across, and that does it really nicely with that, with the cello and stuff, and it's like you don't do much development of the melody line, you know, you keep it fairly short and fairly memorable and just keep hammering it home, like particularly in, I don't know if you're going to play it, but like Game of Thrones is like that. It's extremely insistent and repetitive, but brilliantly so.
And the visuals that go with Game of Thrones are
stunning,
insane.
Stunning.
I just want to give you one more for the past, then we'll take a look at that. Cagney and Lacey?
Oh, yeah.
Whatever.
God.
Doesn't mean anything today. That's just so. It must be so. Whatever.
That was 70s, wasn't it? 70s.
Or 70s.
Kind of precursor to Frances. She was like a kind of precursor to Frances McDormand. You know that Frances McDormand policewoman in, what do you call it?
Fargo,
yeah. Like Cagney and Lacey did that 20 years beforehand, but like real kind of Columbo style, I'm more innocent than
well,
I
here,
look,
I want to go to something else now, entirely different. We're talking to Jim Lockhart here. 51552 is the text, and we're looking at TV theme tunes thingies, and also at Fanning RT, and there's loads of them there on Twitter as well. So what I'll do is, I'm going to give you this one here. Listen.
Have you done your record?
Hold on. I'll stop it because I'm going to play it in its entirety in a second. Its entirety being 35 seconds. Now, is that you whistling? Is that you playing? You wrote it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's credited to me and Barry, and we're both kind of involved in it. I learned the tune in an Irish college in Bruna Mee in County Meath when I was a kid, when I was like 14 or 13 or something like that. And it's a song called Airoig Mé Mórach. It goes under a couple of different titles. It's also Cooking Glen Nefin and Huasa Gortha Hornoin. But it's mostly known as Airoig Mé Mórach. And we had tried to use it in Horselips a couple of times. I mean, it was always that kind of there on the back burner, and it never sort of fitted into anything in a band context. And it was always sort of sitting there, and it's like, God, there's got to be a way that this is going to slot into something. And then when Glen Rowe was mooted as an idea for a series, and it was originally called Glen Dara, so we were sort of toying with the idea of what could work with this, and I dragged it down off the shelf. Here, what about this? And so we tossed around the idea of it. And I had this notion that the image was of a sort of young guy, sort of farm labourer, strolling along a country lane in dapple sunshine with his hands in his pockets.
Whistling,
yeah. And it's not real whistle. It's a Yamaha synth that I had at the time.
Don't tell me that.
It was stolen out of my garage.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. It's a gorgeous synthesizer. It was beautiful. One of the earliest polyphonic synths for nerds.
Here you go. Can we stay with the Irish for the moment? Some soaps and stuff.
The one that had gone before that, the Reardons was like the original Irish soap that went on for quite a long time, and the theme tune for that was a thing called The Palatine's Daughter, and set in Leestown. That was like that was 70s. It's got to be sort of early 70s, and. That's the Palatine's Daughter. That's the same tune. I think they used an orchestral version of it. Yeah, arranged by Saoirse Bodley. But it's the same tune. But the idea was that you would have a traditional tune used in some sense. Yeah. And there's another one on Russ and Roon. Ellen Cranach has done a lovely arrangement of a traditional tune. It's a beautiful, zippy one on Russ and Roon.
Be this?
Sinead? Brilliant.
Elaine Cranish, Ross in a Room. What about Red Rock?
Look that. Yep. That's, what's your woman's name who wrote that? Debbie Wiseman. That's a real, that's like that mouth organ. It's like the cellos of Game of Thrones. That mouth organ is just such a signature sound. You're in there straight away, you know?
What about then songs as sig tunes?
That's much more, I mean, the first one that really, it had been a thing, but the first one that when I really said, God, that's really the way to go was The Wire. I mean, it started before that, obviously. Alabama 3 on The Sopranos, Woke Up This Morning, was a brilliant use of a song to just do something like that. Sorry, I thought you were going to play it there, are you?
I am.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
This is it.
Mouth organ in the back again, the same as the Red Rock one. You know, that it's a very evocative kind of a noise. And the Alabama 3 have got that thing of slightly jokey menace. You know, it's like bad lad.
And there's a lot of text in for The Wire, but the Wire changed every year.
It changed, but they use the same song. It's Tom Waits. It's Way Down in the Hole.
If you walk through the garden, better watch your back. Well, I beg your pardon, walk the straight and narrow track. If you walk with Jesus, he'll save your soul. You gotta keep the devil down in the hole.
Okay, I'm trying to get through all the texts. 51552. That's Blind Boys of Alabama.
That's so magic. And they use different versions. They use the Tom Waits version on another song. There was 5 series of The Wire, and Steve Earle, they used a Steve Earle version. They used a Neville Brothers version. But what was so brilliant about that was, like, the song is so fatalistic, and it like, the whole point about The Wire, above, I think, any other series, was that it reflected not kind of bad boy evil, not that there's a character who's a bad person, but that the whole system is intrinsically just not human friendly, and it's not even so much that it's evil, it's just bad, and it's almost impossible for good people to flourish and do anything right in just with the way things are laid out. And that's such a superb choice of a tune, and that, oddly enough, that song reputedly was the inspiration for Nick Cave for Red Right Hand, which was the Sig's signature song on Peaky Blinders.
Peaky Blinders, yeah. Okay, I'll tell you what, I don't know where to go because there's so many I could go for here, but I'll tell you, this is pretty, like, when I say songs, TV series, surely this is the most famous, whether I like it or not. There's another question, here goes.
Your job's a joke, you broke, your love life's to your way. It's like you're always stuck in second gear. When it hasn't been your day, your week, your month, or even your year, but I'll be there for you.
When the rain starts to fall,
I'll be there for you.
Like I've been there before,
I'll be there for you.
Cause you're there for me too.
You're so
The gorgeous thing about it was that it chimed so much with the vibe of the show.
Well,
you know.
It did, because it's been drummed into you for 30 years. For God's
I know, but it was perfect. You know,
jumping around the fountain with an umbrella now, Jim?
But the way they all gather around the fountain, it's like the Simpsons arriving on the couch. Yeah. You know, it was brilliant.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Here's something completely different that isn't brilliant. I think this is one of the funniest things ever. You ready for this? Look, this is a classic. It's a jam.
There's another version of it that goes into an organ solo there, into a sort of jazzy organ. That's it. That's a straightforward 12 bar.
Yeah, exactly. But it's, that's all.
But it's really good. I mean, it's a.
Hold on,
you have to remember that it was good enough for George Harrison, because I'm convinced that Harrison took Taxman from that.
Right,
Taxman
yeah.
is
yeah.
Taxman. Yeah. Although I've come across there's some terrible nerdy types out there. There's a whole Reddit thing on whether or not he could have actually lifted Batman for Taxman, because they were in America in April of that year, and Batman didn't come out until May of that year, and they were back in England.
Sherlock.
Do you know, but I mean, there are people who are actually figuring out, would it have been possible for them to have got one of the cover version singles from America back to England
in
time for him to lift it?
It comes in through the ports, Liverpool. Okay, hold on a second. Here, we try this one here, look.
Isn't that just so perfect? Because, apart from the fact that it's the exactly the right blend of irony that that the two lads had, and that was that kind of the whole show was steeped in. That's very much Neil Hannon's kind of vibe, and he was one of the gang, you know, Father Neil Hannon.
Okay, well, I'm going to play this one here now, which is probably my favourite TV programme of all time. The Sig tune, I think it's brilliant, actually, in one way, but it's a song that's famous, made like a lot of people recorded. Rod Stewart recorded as well. It's really good.
Oh, this is Handbags and Glad Rags. Yeah.
In other words, this is The Office.
Oh, isn't that gorgeous?
Pretty cool.
It's
right?
Brilliant. So good.
Written by your man, wasn't it? Mike Dabo, who took over in Manfred Mann.
Is that who wrote it? I didn't check that.
Yeah. Okay, so let me see. Oh, I'll tell you, this has been mentioned by you and others, by many, in fact, 51552. And this is like as grand and as grandiose as it needs to be for the series, and the visuals that went with it were insane. Game of Thrones.
Thank you.
Game of Thrones. That's superb because like the cello is real signature sound for it, but also is dum 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 dum. That thing, that repetitive motif, is it reminds me of Mars from the planets, Holst, the planets, Mars, the bringer of war, and that's in 5-4, but it's good. Dum dum. It's same kind of thing. It's just the whole thing is very repetitive, hammer it home motif, and I think that's so superbly crafted because like you're trying to evoke medieval England, but at the same time not, because you've got to have it just sort of slightly skewed so that you're not tied to a particular time period or a particular country. And at the same time, you've got to have a bit of majesty and you've got to have menace and you've got to have something warlike. And it does all that superb. And those graphics with it.
Yeah, amazing. So what about marvelous piece Char Topper from MASH?
Oh yeah, Suicide Is Painless. Mm. You wouldn't get it. I mean, like that was a really subversive thing to do. It was Altman. It was Robert Altman, mm. And he insisted on the title, but like that's like we don't need no education. Yes, you bloody do. It was a bad message to put out there, and it's completely wrong. Mm. And you know, obviously, it's not painless. And how they got away with it, I don't know. Like MASH was at a time when the whole thing in America was counterculture and anti-war and cooky studenty types standing up to the man and all that sort of stuff, and like it had a vibe, but I still don't know how they managed to
give you a buzz. Through a few more that have been mentioned.
I suppose
text,
just before you leave it, I suppose you should say in its defence that like it was set against the obscenity of the Vietnam War at the time, and like you can view that in the context of, I don't know if you saw the HBO, no, it's not HBO, it's PRS series, the public broadcasting series in America about the Vietnam War. It's like 25 parts or something like that. It's astonishing, and they use, it's like reeling in the years, but like with this utterly obscene deception of the American people by the politicians and the military and the CIA and everybody. And so like set against that, this is like MASH, and the whole vibe was like a cry of despair. You know, you can't be doing this stuff.
From that to,
sorry, a little political lecture stop ranting.
From that to time for bed, said Zebedee. That was the magic end of it. I never thought of
is
music.
Is that what that is?
I never thought of music. It's not. No, it's not. Okay, we'll play something else. But how about the Brady Bunch?
Here's the story of a lovely lady who was bringing up three very lovely girls. All of them had hair of gold, like their mother, the youngest one in curls.
Here's the story of a man named Brady. Was busy with three boys of his own. They were four men living all together, yet they were all alone. Till the one day.
Oh, shut up! For God's sake! It never ends. Here, hold on. How about some 80s synth nonsense? Are you ready? Miami Vice.
Oh, wow.
Don Johnson.
Synthetic toms, like you got at the front at the top of EastEnders.
Oh, kind of nowhere really here. I'll take a break.
But the thing was that was always kind of purple and pink, and you know, it was all that kind of colours steeped in it.
Dave Fanning. Weekends on 2FM.
Okay, we've been doing this for the past few Sundays, and this time around it's Sig Tunes. And obviously I've got 5,000 more than I need, you know, at this stage. But the text, I just want to get through as many. How about this? I mean, for crying out loud, it's like a match of the day, you know, like how many D's in match of the day? And you're supposed to say one. No, 72. D, 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 D. Something very kind of.
I know, yeah.
Where's my Horlicks? Here, hold on a second. How about this one here? This was one of the funniest. Listen. I mean, seriously. Listen. Oh my God, this is a very serious quiz program.
What's that one?
Mastermind.
Oh, it's all right, course. Yeah, yeah. You know the title of this? It's called Ominous Approach. Because it was originally from a library music album.
It's very scary.
Yeah. I mean, if you wanted scary music, that's where you went.
I remember I saw once that the most specialist subject was English teapots, 1490 to 1555. Seriously, I was like, sorry? Give me a break.
They changed after 1455. Yeah.
Big time. Okay, hold on a second. Chef, while we're at it, a few of these. Oh, this is one of the most famous from 100 years ago. Are you ready? You're a talking horse.
Hello.
Oh, Mr. Ed.
I'm Mr. Ed.
A horse is a horse, of course, of course. And no one can talk to a horse, of course. That is, of course, unless the horse is the famous Mr. Ed.
Gifted in simpler right times.
Ask the horse, he'll give you the answer that you endorse. He's always on a steady course. Talk to Mr. Ed.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay. And this one here, which has been massively, brilliantly updated from the six or seven movies that are out there now, which are all great, but this is the radio show, do you remember?
Oh, that's...
Mission Impossible.
Yeah, 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 yeah. God, yeah. Of course. That's a whole style of stuff that ranges from Bond to the Pink Panther,
big
you know,
time.
With the trombones and flutes. And, like, nod to all the jazzers, because a lot of this stuff is done by, like, really, really brilliant, like, jazz people. Like, for example, the Batman one. You know who did the Batman one? It was Nelson Riddle. Oh, yeah. Like, he didn't write it, but he played it. It was his band.
Just a 12-bar. Here, hold on a second. You just mentioned this one, and a bunch of people have on text. This is a bit too famous.
Oh, yeah.
Henry Mancini.
Is it his? I knew it
I
was.
Think
that
so.
Sounds so simple. It's such artistry in that. Get that smooch and the slickiness of it.
That's the Pink Panther. A few people have mentioned this, I wouldn't know it. MacGyver.
As the favourite soap of Marge's two sisters in The Simpsons.
There you go. Thanks for that, Rick.
Now, I don't think that's hugely memorable in itself, though, to be honest, but I guess if you were
what
there...
What you mean, you're so diplomatic, it's totally forgettable, frankly. Baywatch. Sorry. What? I'd be useless in a quiz. I've never heard this.
You didn't watch Baywatch, no? You weren't a Pamela Anderson fan, no?
Who's that singing that show? I'm sure I should know.
Kid Rock, probably.
No idea. But it's dreadful. Yeah. Okay, I think just one I want to play before I go back to some of your ones, Jim.
But to be honest, you didn't go to Baywatch for the sing tune.
No, I don't think one did. Now, I did play one earlier on, said the Magic Roundabout. I said, that doesn't sound like the Magic Roundabout, because it was Bagpuss, that's why, which I wouldn't have known. But I do know the
Scotch Bagpuss or Irish Bagpuss?
Ah, the Magic Roundabout! Time for bed, said Zebedee. Okay, now, where were we going? I was going to ask you about one or two things and now I've completely forgotten. Yeah, were you going to mention Monty Python?
Yeah, I mean, there's a kind of tradition of English ones which are in that quirky English way that English people do so brilliantly. And Python it was a superb choice. They chose for their sake is a march by the March King. He was Sousa, Carl Philip Sousa, an American composer who was like sort of second half of the 19th century up to about 19. I think he died around 1930. And this is real. It's real sort of pompous. It's American, but it could equally apply to the British Empire. And it totally represents the kind of pomposity that the Pythons were all about pricking.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
You know, making fun of.
Yeah.
That's Rudyard Kipling, you know, and the White Man's Burden, all that sort of stuff.
Okay, two that have come in a lot on the text, Jim, at 51552. That's John Philip Sousa, the Liberty Bell or something, isn't it?
Liberty Bell, yeah.
Yeah, Monty Python Flying Circus. Okay, Tinker Tailor, Soldier Spy.
Mm.
As in the television program.
That was the original. It was remade with, what do you call, oh God, I can't remember his name. But the original one, which was in 1972, I think, starred Alec Guinness, known to later generations as Obi-Wan Kenobi. There's always one. And this had this boy soprano. I'll shut up and let you play it because it's magic.
Civil service.
Nunc dimittis, now dismiss it thou thy servant, O Lord. Sung by a boy soprano with an organ and a trumpet in King's College, Cambridge. And if anybody hasn't seen it, Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy was John le Carré. And it was basically about, it was a spy series, but it implied that there was a lot of rot within the British establishment. And it wasn't, it was only beginning to be a kind of thing that you could say. And it kind of laid the groundwork for a lot of subsequent, much more cynical stuff. But at the time, that kind of purity, that whole English purity and kind of rustic simplicity and classic stuff put over this murky, seedy civil service stuff was beautiful sort of juxtaposition. And your man, the guy who wrote it, Jeffrey Bergen, the composer, he did Brideshead Revisited, he did the Forsyth Saga, and he did The Life of Brian, oddly enough, surprisingly. But that, I think that is just gorgeous, one of the most beautiful pieces of music
ever. Okay, I want to play a full
ever.
Track here. Tell me about Villagers.
Villagers is a trick of the light, is on a recent series on RTE called Smother. with Dervla Kerwin, Niamh Walsh and Shauna Kerslake. And I made a point of watching it because I'd missed Shauna Kerslake. She kind of bubbled up a couple of years ago and I meant to check out whatever it was that she was starring in, and I never got to it. And I saw she was in this and I made a point of checking her out, and God, it's really good. Now there's kind of some things you might not like about it, but it's overall it's just brilliant. It's superbly done.
Well, what
really well
is,
shot. It's a murder mystery set in the Burren, and the idea of using a trick of the light, and when you hear Connor's voice coming in at the end of each episode, it's just magic. It's a gorgeous song anyway.
Spilling over, crashing on the ground. I can't see what's around me, but soon I'll come around. My faith is in the balance of a million tiny words, so I return to silence. And if I see a sign in the sky tonight, no one's gonna tell me it's a trick of the light. May never come, but I'm willing to wait. What can I say? I'm a man of the faith. And there's an ocean in my body, and there's a river in my soul, and I'm crying. It's time that I let go of things I can't control. This path that I've so far to get here, and I've got so far to go, so I'll take what I can get in matters of the soul. And if I see a sign in the sky tonight, no one's gonna tell me it's a trick of the light. May never come, but I'm willing to wait. What can I say? I'm a man of the faith, and there's an ocean in my body, and there's a river
Villagers, if you like, a trick of the light. Conor O'Brien.
Dave Fanning, weekend.
Oh my God, okay,
FM.
Hold on. I'm going to have to run through a few of these. You ready? Listen, hold on a second. This one's fun. Bulls the pork.
Everybody needs good neighbor.
Okay, that's enough of that.
Just a friendly wave each
morning. Pulling away.
You're damning a whole generation.
Doesn't
there.
Matter, we haven't time.
Not Kylie, what you call him, yeah?
Yeah, Jason.
Jason, yeah.
And everybody else, too. Every Tom, Dick and Harry was in Home and Away. If it were
really?
Oh, they seem to be, I don't know. Nick Cave ever in it, I think he was. He's living in it for 5 minutes.
Surely not.
A guest appearance.
Surely not.
like some guy saying, "Well, God, but I'm cool, Mary." No, you want to see the coolest man on earth? There he is over there at the bar. His name is Nick.
You call that cool? No, this is cool.
Did Fawlty Towers have a theme? Hold on a second. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Basil.
That's another of those. That's another example of that English quirky thing, like a string quartet. Hello.
This is not one of those.
Oh, rawhide. Oh my God. Oh, they're disapproving. Keep them doggies moving,
rawhide. Don't try to understand them. Just run. I love it. So we'll be
living high and wide. That's a real window into the past, isn't it?
How about Falcon Crest? What do we have to do?
No.
It means nothing to me. Hold on. Lapels. There has to be an aerial shot.
Yeah, yeah. That's a bit corporate now, frankly.
It certainly is. There's a biggie I haven't played yet, and there's a bunch of them in as a request. I forgot. Yeah, this is pretty damn good. X-Files.
Oh, wow. Oh yeah, another descendant of Doctor Who, of the famous Doctor Who. God, that was really a thing. The truth is out there, yeah?
That's pretty good, all right. Okay, how about this?
Flintstones!
Wow! Like the vocalists seem to be in the toilet. Everything else is going on in the studio. They're miles away.
Yeah. That'll never be the same. That was completely usurped by Dermot Morgan for when he was lambasting Porrick Flynn. And Flynn's domestic life was the Flintstones on Scrap Saturday.
Yeah.
Genius.
Sesame Street? I wouldn't know. Where's Postman Pat when we need it?
Oh, you're not going to fit Sesame Street. How to get to Sesame Street. Come and play. Everything's A-OK. Friendly neighbors I guess I have a warped affection because when we returned to America, we spent a lot of time in motels watching Sesame Street.
Hold on a second. When Horselips were touring America, they spent a lot of time in motels or hotels.
Yeah, and you'd find yourself watching a lot of Sesame Street.
Did you now, Jim?
Yeah, I'm afraid so. Right. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
How about the Addams Family? A vocal one on this.
Creepy and they're kooky, mysterious and spooky. They're all together ooky.
But they sound like they're down in the basement.
But that turned into a whole other thing then through video games. I mean, like that, the whole Addams Family thing really mutated into a whole other.
Speaking of video games, what do you call it? One of the most famous things on video games is also the house theme, which of course is just so good. Massive Attack. And I should
be doing this.
I haven't got the time for all of this.
Oh, this is gorgeous.
One of the greatest.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you. the theme for House, which I've never seen, so I didn't know.
That's
Your Man.
Your Man, who became the blues singer.
Your Man.
Yeah, yeah.
Hold on a second.
Your Man, who was in that thing with that other fella, who was, you know.
Hugh Laurie.
Hugh Laurie, hey. Well done, hey. Sir. Hey. And the prize goes to Mr. Fanning.
Well done.
Sorry, where was I? Yeah, okay, listen, we don't have a lot of time, as I keep saying. So listen, why am I playing and what is it? Just tell me exactly, what did Paul Brady do?
Paul Brady did a version of Gimme Shelter, and we were playing with Paul a bit over the last number of years, and one of the things he suggested doing on one of the gigs was Gimme Shelter. We thought, that's kind of an odd one. And then we heard the version that he had done for this series, American series, about a biker gang called Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah.
And his version of it is just killer. And he does actually a low whistle solo in the middle of it. Knockout stuff.
Okay, I'm not sure if we'll get that far, but hold on. That, all right.
That's
well done,
a killer version. It's really good.
Gimme Shelter from Sons of Anarchy. So, time to get out of here. So, because we've got to go. So, from producer John Daly, from Graham Smith. What am I doing here? Oh, yeah. Him, yeah. That guy there on your left. Africa O'Connell, Dave Fanning, Jim Lockhart. Come on, Jim. Thanks.
Thank you.
Stephen's going to take us through to 5 o'clock. We're going to go for our kind of favourite in some ways, and that we both have this one kind of thing, and like, let's face it, it all started with this. We don't have time to talk about it, but we're going to play it because it's brilliant, isn't it? Because we had
best
it last
ever. Delia Derbyshire, big tribute.
Exactly, yeah, and we had it on the, well, we had all about it on the
Derbyshire
last week. Yeah. Here goes. Good luck, folks. Doctor Who is what we're talking about.